How's Paulie?
Oh, Paulie won't see him no more.
From the WGN Tower.
Remember, you're all a big part of the show. We're on in 10 seconds, so get ready to have a good time. All right, here we go. This is exciting, isn't it?
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
Now let us imagine that you're in the middle of your program.
You must identify your station.
You might say
WGN.
Right here.
Good afternoon, America.
Here.
Since the Benghazi attacks almost 2 years ago, Al-Qaeda operatives and allied terrorists have flocked to Libya.
Better than Vegas.
The country has attracted a star-studded roster of notorious terrorists and fanatics seeking to wage war on the West. Yes, you're George Clooney's of jihadists.
You should open your mouth a little wider when you speak.
One U.S. military contractor working on counterterrorism in Africa summed up the situation in Libya today as simply scumbag Woodstock.
By the time we got to Woodstock, we were...
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the opening of a 3-day festival, Scumbag Woodstock.
Where's Max Yasker when you need him? We're going to have 3 days of car bombs and fatwas and nothing but car bombs and fatwas. A judge in England told an insensitive father that he must stop emailing his kids in all capital letters because it looks like he's yelling at them.
Oh, you bastard.
Sorry, kids. You are the rudest little twerps walking the earth. Lowercase. Better?
Yes.
I'm Gary Meyer, broadcasting from the Allstate Glass Box on your Blackhawks Nation headquarters. The 720 Dreamliner, the Super G, WGN, Chicago. Middle of the afternoon, the Dreamliner is up. Tom, welcome.
So, hello, Gary. Uppercase is pretty offensive, huh?
Well, you know, when you get an email or a text and it's all capital letters, that's considered yelling.
I see.
And this guy was doing that with his kids, and he's in a custody battle, apparently.
See.
And the judge said, hey, tone it down a little bit.
Wow. That's interesting.
Hey, I want to introduce somebody in the studio.
Yeah.
You got a minute or you
I
have
do.
To run? Oh, good.
No. I'm here for you, Gary, every day.
Every day, 3 and 6.
Exactly. That's right.
Catherine Poliak from Buffalo Grove has brought a Blackhawks cake into the studio.
Oh, wow.
As we get ready for Game 3 tonight. And, of course, she was inspired by that Cubs cake.
Yeah.
And she said, she emailed and said, hey, I can make a Blackhawks cake
How
if you want.
About
I said,
that?
Okay, if you want to do that. It is now pictured on WGNradio.com and my Facebook page if you want to take a look at it.
Yeah, I've got
Catherine,
to check this out.
Welcome, and thank you for doing this. How long did it take to put that together?
Oh, I don't know. It took a really long time.
A really long
time.
A couple years?
No, I would say I made 6 players. Each player took 5 hours. The cake itself took, I don't know. I've been working on it for 2 weeks.
Is this what you do for a living?
No, I'm a music teacher, actually.
A music teacher, and you do this for fun?
Mm-hmm.
And you do big projects like this for fun? Or
This is definitely the biggest thing I've ever made.
Okay, it is the rink, and you got, as she mentioned, 6 players. Do you remember which players you put together?
Yeah, I put Taves, Kane, Sharp, Keith, Crawford, and Shaw.
Well, and you did great detail on this cake.
Thank you.
And it's all edible.
Yep.
Even though there's some what's called fondant on there. That's
right.
The sturdier parts of the cake, the rink walls and the base of the cake is fondant, and the rest of the cake is made out of what?
Everything is fondant. Well, the cake, and then it's covered in fondant, and then the players are made of modeling chocolate that you just stick little toothpicks in to hold the arms and legs together, and then that's the only non-edible part.
Did you say modeling chocolate?
Yeah.
And that is what it's called.
Yeah, it's kind of like fondant, but it's a little more malleable. You can kind of push the seams together so you don't have like two parts that are separated looking. So,
well, we appreciate you doing that, and I will, like I say, have it here in the showcase studio for the duration
for
of
having
the show.
Me.
That's really cool. Gary, I'm trying to pull it up. Is it up right now on online?
Craig said he had it up on the website.
Because I'm dying to see this. That sounds
my Facebook
really
page,
nice.
So take a look at it there. But yeah, that is a nice piece of work, and let's hope that brings some kind of good luck to our Blackhawks tonight in Minnesota. How about that?
That's really nice.
Yeah.
How did you get it down here?
Very carefully. We put it in the trunk in a few separate pieces, and we had the guys sitting on, you know, a soft towel so they didn't crack.
Yeah. Wow.
And it made the trip okay, so it's all good.
That's what they do with the real players on the plane. They're on towels so they don't crack.
Yeah.
That's what I've been told by Q.
Well, that is really nice of you, Karen.
Have you seen the picture yet, Tom?
I have not, Karen.
All right,
I'm
well,
still looking. So
all right, it's going to be up there if it's not up there now.
Yeah.
It says on this text, Catherine, does Shaw have a lower body injury on the cake?
No, it's so far intact, so he should be good.
Good, good. He'll be back in game four. That's what I'm hearing. So let's not worry about that. And somebody texted yesterday because I had Schauzer on last week and said, don't have any more players on, your bad luck. I said, no, he's doing that cold tub, which he talked about on the program. Do a hot tub, Schauzer. That I think, will open your bones up and muscles more. But they make him jump in that cold tub. That can't be good. But anyway, Catherine, thank you for doing that.
Thank
Catherine,
you.
That's so nice.
And we will make sure that that all gets... Well, I'm sure some people are going to want to eat certain players. Because I've heard that before here when walking around the halls. And I will make sure that they get the appropriate player that they seem to want to eat. Catherine Poliak, cake maker of our Blackhawks cake. And that is the counter punch to the Cubs cake. And now we've got both of the teams that we carry covered in cakedom here.
I'll tell you one thing.
At the G.
One thing that this one will be eaten, you know.
There's a dumpster right out the door.
No. Not going to go in a dumpster. There won't be no pictures of it in a dumpster.
No way.
How about this text from Nathan? Talk about icing. We have icing all over this.
Oh, that's really good. Yay. That's a good one.
Back in just a few minutes here and talk to Tom about that weather on WGN. So we got a pretty decent spring day going right now.
Do you know right now it's 77 in Pontiac. It's 48 at Kenosha. That's the range around the area. But 62 at O'Hare and 52 at the lakefront. And it's just the beginning. Tomorrow we go into summer-like warmth. The 80s will be up here overall, but the North Shore areas during the latter part of the day, and even those areas will get into the warm air, and then we have 80s on Thursday again, Gary. So it's the first time we put back-to-back 80s together. And this is coming off a pool of 100-degree temperatures in Kansas and Oklahoma. Do you know that those areas have seen their earliest hundreds ever in recorded history? And they got a level of moisture that's so low down there that they're comparing it to the Dust Bowl years in some cases. So really serious drought down there.
I'm sure you have received some blowback from your global warming comments, because I was getting some yesterday about, 39 on May 5th.
Oh, yeah.
Where's the global warming? And they have to go with the climate change phrase, because that says it all. People think because it's not 1,000 degrees, that's bogus, but that is part of global warming.
Oh, there's no question about it. And in fact, it's the warmth. You know, it's just like they say, the ice around Antarctica is increasing. Sure it is, because it's warm all around Antarctica, and it's snowing more around the periphery, so you get more ice to build up and the stronger winds around it. The fact is, the ice loss in the northern part of the planet far outweighs anything that any gain in sea ice, and the ice on the continent down there is diminishing. So there are all kinds of things that folks throw back.
Well, you can't believe these scientists. They don't know what they're talking about.
Oh, my word. Talk to somebody out west. You know, Gary, what's happening here is very much what we thought. About two-thirds of the country was in this cold air over the winter. It was unusually warm in Europe. It was unusually warm in the West. It was unusually warm in Alaska and northern Canada. The Arctic was warmer than average. So all around us, it was warm. The planet had the 10th warmest winter on record in going back to 1880.
And now we have hundreds for the first time at this time of year in these areas.
Wichita, Kansas hit 102 on Sunday. They have never hit 100 this early. You know, and it's just these little instances, these events, that when you start taking them collectively, they all start adding up. You know, like London or England having the most rain since the 1700s. That doesn't happen every day. The strongest tropical cyclone ever to landfall anywhere in the world happened in the Philippines back last year. We had the latest tornado outbreak in Illinois that's ever occurred back in November, and that included the Washington, Illinois. Take all of these together in these billion-dollar disasters, and we had 8 of those last year. We had 11 the year before. And you start realizing, there's some interesting things going on this planet. So,
not good either. And speaking of all that, it is the prom and tornado season. And after 5:15, I'm going to give away another basement watchdog AM/FM NOAA weather alert radio.
Yeah, those are great.
Got to have those.
Yep.
And with this weather heating up, did I see in your weather page and on your forecast
yes.
on Channel 9 there's going to be some storms maybe?
Yeah, probably
boiling
Thursday
up
night.
With this.
What you're going to see is these things will start erupting all the way from Texas up through the Iowa on Thursday, and then we could get in on some of these here or nearby Thursday night and into Friday. So, yeah, there are next. We're queuing up the next severe weather outbreak here in the center of the country with that. But before it happens, the weather's going to be spectacular. I mean, we're going to get warm. We haven't had two 80-degree days together. And, we pointed out, you and I have talked about this, Las Vegas, Tucson, Miami, one of the warmest winters ever on record in those areas. They were outside the cold air. And now with the warm air seasonally expanding north, now we're getting those kinds of early heat indicators out in Oklahoma and Kansas. So it'll be interesting to see if this continues spreading north. And, I still think this may be a summer that surprises around here after that cold winter.
I saw a picture of the water situation in Vegas.
Oh.
What are they going to do? I mean, they're showing these dry beds that used to provide the water, and they're completely dried up.
I was reading in the Los Angeles newspaper out there, they were saying that what will happen is, first of all, only the very wealthy will be able to afford lawns, because you're going to have to water and irrigate those things. And water is going to become so expensive, if this trend continues, that nobody will be able to put a lawn in out there.
Instead of the valuable artwork that Steve Wynn will have a lawn, and people are going to go, let's go look at Steve Wynn's lawn.
Well,
he's the only one that can afford one.
How about his water fountains out in front of his hotel, I mean, the interesting thing is that city really depends on water because they have those spectacular water displays out in front of the hotel there. And
but that's the same pool of water recycled, right? Once you fill that,
it evaporates
with all that heat.
So they have to keep filling it up, because in that all that heat, they were saying that, when you go into Hoover Dam out there, you can stick a camera through this little grid window with a metal grid in it. And you can point the camera up and take a picture of the whole dam up above you. But they were saying it gets so hot in the summertime, you can't even touch that metal because it's so warm. So can you imagine the evaporation that goes on out there?
Yeah, I guess I didn't think about that for about 2 seconds. But you're right. They're going to have problems.
Yeah.
One way or another.
They're talking about maybe starting to desalinate in California. But then that takes a lot of energy to do that. And so it's very expensive to do that.
All right. Well...
Well, that's uplifting.
Enjoy the day,
Gary. Yeah,
right. They're numbered now for all of us.
I know. Well, what can you do, Gary? We're gonna be all right.
And this text, I'll leave you with this, and this sums it up. Came in. The UN said it's too late to fix global warming, so we might as well just enjoy the ride and stop wasting time and money. All right, Tom. I'll talk to you at 6.
All right, Gary.
Super G. GM on GM. You can text me at 24-720. Got a bunch in after the first half hour. A lot of blowback on the global warming. Not surprised. Like this one. Seriously, you Democrats need to stop with your stupid hoax. The planet runs on 600 to 800-year cycles, if you were wondering about that. I guess the initial pollution and hazards of the environment were caused by dinosaurs breaking wind, they say. And we got past that. We'll get past this, right?
That's a mighty win, too.
It's prom-nado season. Prom-nado. That's what they did. I say it's prom and tornado season. They combine prom-nado. They should use urine in their fountains. That's in Vegas. They're having a big water problem. And
maybe. Bellagio, my God, alone.
I'm sure a lot of people have gone to the bathroom in there, so that they might have to use just... water from Miss Daisy's driver after a while.
Couldn't we just do the world a favor and this will be our commitment and that's just to close Vegas? Because it kind of shouldn't exist in the desert with all those fountains.
Yeah, well, Bugsy Siegel didn't get shot in the eye, so you could just shut it down.
And there's not a statue
or
a monument
anymore.
I heard a story that the Strip only uses 6% of the city's water. I don't know how that can be. I mean, they must reuse it all, but that it's not as big of usage as you would think.
Okay, well, not our problem, but they're going to have some serious water issues because of the way Vegas has developed over the years. Not just the gambling, the people that have moved out there.
Well, they're the ones sucking up the other 94%.
Exactly.
For all those lawns, those dusty lawns of theirs.
Well, a lot of people decided long ago that a lawn is not practical in the desert, so they don't have lawns. They have a couple cacti and those plants that live in anything. But you don't see a lot of lawns, do you?
I don't know.
I never wander out of the strip area.
But they still try to keep golf courses green.
Oh, yeah, they do have those. Yeah. All right, well, I don't know what to tell you. Steve Wynn, what do you got? He's the guy.
Well, good thing that Liberace's not there anymore because he had the Dancing Waters. They have to shut down his whole show.
You should get modeling chocolate to do the billboards for your ethnic cleansing spa. All right, a few months ago, I launched a thought, and it kind of hit some blowback with, what are you talking about? Why you think that's funny? Why do you think that's funny? I said that we all have different skin. I was going to open up some spas called ethnic cleansing, and then if you have a specific skin type or all different, they would cater to that. And then that woman that came in with the Blackhawks cake, she talked about modeling chocolate, which I had never heard before. She used that in the cake she made that's available to look at WGNradio.com. It's going to stay in the showcase studio for a few days. If you're nearby on Michigan Avenue, Tribune Tower, just take a peeky boo.
I thought you were talking about Naomi Campbell.
Could be. That's what her modeling name is, isn't it? Modeling Chocolate?
Modeling Chocolate.
Thank you, Donald Sterling. 312-981-7200.
That really is a cool
It's a great little cake she put together. It's not as big as what the Cubs Wrigley Field cake was, but that proved to be unwieldy anyway.
She even put sugar for the ice so it shines.
Yeah, and she's got a little Indian head in the middle of the ice. It's great.
It looks like one of those tabletop hockey games you used to have with the poles.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, let's eat it.
After we have it on display for a few days. Ray? Ray.
Gary.
What up?
How you doing, buddy?
Good.
Hey, I've been to Vegas, and I asked that question because, you know, they keep saying that Hoover Dam's going dry and Lake Mead's going dry. So what they did years ago when they started building all the new hotels is they separate the sinks and the showers from the toilets. So they get gray water from the sinks and the showers, and they get black water from the toilets. They take the gray water, and they reconstitute it and use it for the swimming pools and the fountains. So they're not taking any more water out of Lake Mead for the fountains or the swimming pools or anything.
Okay, well, at least they were proactive in that because now this is getting to be a real problem.
Yeah, and there is a statue of Bugsy Siegel in the garden at the Flamingo.
That's right. I remember when we were there a couple years ago that there is that statue now. The Flamingo being what he started back in the day. And that's
right. And they talk about how he had a secret elevator. It took him down to the basement where he'd have a car waiting with a driver so that he never had to go out on the strip where anybody could take a shot at him or something.
Well, that didn't work well. He went back to Los Angeles, and that's what did him in. But
see what a woman will do for you?
I saw my whole family and I went out there for Thanksgiving a couple years ago. I highly recommend Vegas for Thanksgiving. It's the way the Pilgrims would have wanted it. Saw Donnie and Marie at the Flamingo. Now, if that isn't classic Vegas, come on.
They're still there.
I felt
How
like
about it?
It was 1967. It was great.
Did you have dinner at the roulette table?
No, I did not. You recommend that?
The Pilgrims did it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And we all break bread around the roulette table.
Right.
Give me black. 23. 23 black.
Hey, that's my birthday.
What is?
The 23rd. I always play 23.
I might have to play the lottery tonight. I am really on to something here. I'm feeling it. Thank you.
You are. You got good juju tonight.
And I'm bringing that here and sending it up to Minneapolis. Yes. Thank you. Stuart.
Hey, Gary, I just want to let you know I'm black, but I'm not 23 anymore. So.
All right.
Hate to disappoint you on that one, but that's not the reason I called. Gary, I just want to let you know, you're not the only one with these unique entrepreneurial ideas. I'm going to open a combination strip club and sushi bar.
Yeah, all right.
I'm easy. Naming it.
Easy. All right, let me get the lid off the dump button to make sure I'm ready to go here.
Gary, it's okay.
That's what they all say.
I just want to let you know I'm going to name the place Cuttlefish.
All right.
I was waiting for something better.
Yeah, or worse. I didn't know where he was going. Here's a text. Get on Steve Bertrand. He called you Jerry instead of Gary at the start of his report. That's an inside-outside joke because Rahm Emanuel called me Jerry and Linda Blair called me Jerry.
And you just didn't know who Dan Diebert was.
Right.
So Diebert.
Diebert. Well, you don't either, Alvin. Right. Dan does fill-ins here, apparently, and he's filling in tonight. And he's going to talk about an ugly fish.
Is the humor on this show that subtle? That everybody thinks we're making mistakes as opposed to making jokes?
I often think it's like a club. You can't miss it for the most part.
Humor is either subtle or it's not funny, Jim.
Jeez.
But we're all up to speed now. After 5:15, that break where Leslie does traffic and then a few commercials, I'll give away another Basement Watchdog AM/FM NOAA Weather Alert Radio. This is that radio that will just kick on if there's bad weather heading your way. And that comes in pretty handy in the middle of the night when you're sleeping.
So it turns on? It just turns on as a radio? It doesn't have an alarm?
I don't know. I haven't hooked mine up yet. But it does turn on whether there's an alarm. Something happens where you know there's something coming.
Well, that's good.
Get into
Don't you get the mechanical woman talking? I think you
get into the bathtub. Grab your mattress.
Warning. Warning.
Get down. Get down. Something like that. You'll know. It's pretty evident. This is the Super G. Gary Meyer, 50,000-watt blowtorch. I love stories like this, not because this plane crashed, but I like the vortex-ness of it, the happenstance, the kismet. This is out of Colorado. You may have seen some video of this. There is video, so that means it makes the local news, even though it's not our story. It's out of Colorado. Guy was pulling a banner for GEICO and ran into some trouble in the plane. The plane crashes into a house. Turns out the plane crashed into a house that the pilot used to live in 10 years ago. What are the chances? I thought at first, he did it deliberately because something happened. I don't know. No, the plane had some problems, and he just ended up crashing into a house he used to live in. He's okay. He walked out of it, but I thought, did he get out of the plane and go, they've done really nice things with this house. Too bad it's on fire.
I like the landscaping.
They really have spruced it up. Too bad I had to set the fire. He didn't know it was the house he used to live in until later. He wasn't aware that that was a house he had lived in.
He was thinking of other things.
I would imagine, But what are the chances, right? Think about it.
It's got to be 10 to 1.
Yeah, at least 10 to 1, like my horse on Saturday. And he was pulling a GEICO banner, too, an insurance banner.
Well, maybe he recognized the driveway as his runway, Hey, that looks familiar.
Well, some houses do have their runways. They have the plane parked there, and they have a runway right down the street. They taxi off their driveway.
Doesn't Travolta have that?
Yeah, he's got that. There's a place in several of the suburbs that do that here. I've been to one.
Really?
Yeah.
And they've got a landing strip in their backyards, right? They're all around the landing strip.
Exactly.
And what town? Is it out in the boonies somewhere where they have a lot of land or no?
Yeah, pretty much. I was offered a ride. I took the dune buggy in today. Somebody said they saw a dune buggy. I think you saw me. And I've got the ultralight. I haven't taken the ultralight out yet. But these people all have a plane in a garage, and then they just taxi out to the runway and take off and fly to wherever they fly to. Maybe they work somewhere else. Yeah, it's an airplane community.
Very cool.
And then they were giving rides on this thing that looked like an ultralight, a little more elaborate than an ultralight, but there was no body. You just sat outside, basically looked like you were sitting on a picnic bench, and I didn't want to do that.
One of those old-time, first planes, like the Wright brothers?
Exactly. I passed on that one, but it looked like fun.
So do they have to have an X amount of runway legally? They have to, right?
I would imagine. I don't know what the
for a certain kind of a plane
number is, but
that's a pretty big thing to have in your yard.
Okay.
Well, don't you think? I mean, here's my runway. Here's my pool.
It's right outside the house. They all live around it. Scooter.
Hey, Gary, how you doing, Gary?
Scoot, what up?
Yeah, that pilot that planted hit the house. That was his house. He's also a fireman. And when he got out of the plane, he started putting the house out with the garden hose before the fire department came there.
So he's a one-man entertainment do-it-yourselfer.
Yeah, so ironic. He's a fireman, so I guess he, survived it. And they said he grabbed the garden hose and started trying to put the house out with the garden hose before the fire department got there.
They don't know what happened. to the plane to cause it to crash.
He lost power. He said he lost power, and that was the best he could do. He said he tried to avoid everything, but that, you know, and he didn't know it was his house he lived in. And I also have a friend. You talk about the houses with the planes in their garages.
Yes,
I have a friend out in Naperville, and he has his plane in his garage, and he taxis out to the runway, and it's like an airplane community area, and it's pretty neat. I didn't realize he had a plane, and I asked him. I said, "Well, your garage is awfully huge and big," and he's like, "I didn't realize you had a plane inside there." And he took me in there, and I said, "Oh my God, is your plane's in there?" And then that was, you know, that was his community he lives in.
Right. There are about, I don't know how many, but there are several in the Chicago area, in the suburban area.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. It's pretty neat because we took his plane down to Myrtle Beach one year, and it was weather delayed us a little bit, but it was a pretty interesting trip, flying in the single engine plane all the way to Myrtle Beach. And we flew back. It took us a little longer on the way down because we ran into weather. So it took us 36 hours to get down there, and it took us 5 hours to get back.
That's convenient. You could have driven faster than that.
It takes 24 to drive.
Thank you, Scoot. Dave,
how you doing, Gary? In Bolingbrook, Illinois, off of Mountain Road, they have a subdivision that's around Clow Airport. And there's probably about 30 airplanes there, right off of I-55 and 53 there in Bolingbrook. Thought I'd let you know.
Yes, thank you. And the one I went to was, I'm going to say, Mokena, in that area there. And I got a text here. It says, in Naperville, it's Arrow Estates. Hmm. Arrow Estates in Naperville.
So on the visor, do they have, like, the garage opener when they land?
I think they do. Just pull it right in.
Yeah.
That's where you put that. And these people that I talk to, they work, say, in Wisconsin, and so they fly up there every day and back.
That's their commute.
That's their commute. Is you would commute on one of our expressways, they just fly back and forth. It's pretty cool.
That is neat.
Yeah, if you can get into that. And as you mentioned, Travolta's got that set up in Florida. They've shown pictures of his jets that he has. He has several, like 737s and things.
Well, didn't he fly Oprah one time? There was like something where he
watch
flew
it.
Like when they, on their trip, she gave a trip to Australia, I believe, and they all flew, and John Travolta
right,
was the pilot.
He's hooked into Qantas.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was part of that.
And he actually flew the audience and everybody, or whoever went with her, he was their pilot.
Hey, we're about to take off in about 2 minutes. Make sure you have your seatbelt fastened.
Up your nose with a rubber hose.
Why you do that?
Don't touch my hair.
Going dancing tonight. This is the Super G. The airport community I was at was the Green Garden Airport community that I was privileged to hang out.
Green
at.
Gardens?
The
Green Garden.
Gray Gardens? Green Gardens?
No, Green Garden.
Off 45 down there. It used to be Mary's Pizza in Green Gardens, I think.
Uh-oh. All right. Yeah. Whatever. Go ahead. Tell me that you know something.
Was it on County
that's
D
all
Road?
I'm just trying to remember. That's about all I knew of. Green Gardens was a pizza place.
Jerry Taft, at one time lived in Naperville, had an airplane parked on his property. Jerry flew in the military. And
oh, really?
Yeah. He was.
So he was always in the weather.
Yes, he would need to know the weather and might as well just make a living off it. He's always involved in the Air and Water show. You'll see him in one of those planes or
he's
doing something for Channel 7.
He's in those planes?
Well, I mean, he'll fly one of the jets or what not. Not as the pilot, but he'll go up and say, "I know what I'm talking about. You don't."
You never did that, right? Have you
no.
ever gone in one?
Because no,
don't they always offer
they always
media
offer.
People?
They always offer, but I don't want to have to throw up in a bag.
Remember Jim McMahon threw up when he did it.
Everybody does, they say.
Yeah.
I don't need that. I just don't need that. And those pilots must really get a kick out of that, too. And I'm sure they take you in a way that you really throw up.
Add a little torque.
312-981-7200. David is on. And what's going on, Dave?
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Good.
Thank you. I love your show. Listen to it every day after my commute.
Thank you.
I grew up in Sandwich, Illinois. I don't know if you guys know where that is. It's a rural town about 60 miles south of Chicago, southwest. and there's an airport called the Sawnoff Airport, and basically it's a community of homes. People have airplanes in their garages, and they taxiways to the runways, like you're saying. But as a kid, you know, we had a lot of friends that had dads with airplanes. And how cool was it on a Saturday to like go over to your friend's house and just, instead of going for a Sunday to Saturday drive, you hop in your friend's dad's airplane? It was a lot of fun growing up.
Isn't that where they have a lot of skydiving, too, in Sandwich?
That's where I went.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, out in Hinckley they do, yes. There was actually a couple accidents out in that area of that airport where people land on power lines. But, it's one of those neighborhoods where they have airplanes. It was a lot of fun.
I covered Jackie Bang doing that many years ago when I worked on the Channel 9 morning show. She was a big, and she might still do this, I don't know, but she was doing this a lot.
Where they would do all those
skydiving, and they would, do these formations.
Yeah, right.
They'd all hold hands and make snowflakes and whatever else they did. So that was one of my pieces one day to go out there and
But you didn't
tape her. No, no. Joe Walsh said, why jump out of a plane when it's working? And I totally agree. But she was fearless and would jump multiple times a day and had jumped at that point, this is 20 years ago, several hundred times. And I think she might still do it. I'm not quite sure after she had a family, but I couldn't believe that people did that. And then you try to do that formation deal with all these other divers. That's too crazy. What if one... And they do. They bump into each other once in a while.
I don't know how they catch one another. You know what I mean?
The whole thing. I'd just be pulling that cord as soon as I got out of the plane.
It's cool, though. I've only done it once. I never did it since, but it was fun.
Yeah, trying to prove your manhood once again.
Kind of a thing you always wanted to do.
Yeah, sure.
Although the guy did give me a pink jumpsuit, which I didn't understand. Yeah, some of the pictures that I have are me with this guy on my back. Because you go
and then you went sky jumping.
and I have my pink jumpsuit. No one else had a pink jumpsuit.
Well, if the jumpsuit fits.
I could pull it off, though. I mean, I always pull off pink, you know, so I can wear pink.
Yeah.
But still, I thought it was interesting.
To wear your brooch on your jumpsuit.
The Sandwich is out there.
Yeah.
I didn't know where I was going. I never drove that far south in my life.
Anything south of Wacker Drive confuses you.
Wow.
So what do you do? Have one hand on the cord and one on your head to keep you?
No, I had a helmet on, so the piece stayed on.
Oh, yeah, because his tube would go off.
Right. It's a hair system.
Then they'd find it about 5 miles from where the airport is. The Blackhawks will play game 3 tonight, and if everything goes our way, and so far so good, they could wrap up this series with the Wild on Friday. So Friday, I'm going to give away another one of the Blackhawks fan packs. And this one includes a Blackhawks sock monkey, replica championship pendant, and a Blackhawks travel mug that will hold enough coffee to replenish your energy after a night of thrilling playoff hockey action. I like the people that write this stuff. Yeah, put that in there.
Sock monkey.
Says, cheer on Chicago to victory while wearing a Taves t-shirt and waving a playoff rally towel. Is that included, too? Because then it goes into this fan pack. Also includes. All right, so you get cool. The Taves t-shirt and the rally towel. So I'll tell you when to call. We'll do that Friday after 4 o'clock. Let's say Friday, I'll ask for a number caller. You be that caller, and you'll get all that stuff.
One of the women that came in with the cake, I don't know if you saw her t-shirt, but... It said 17 on there, like it was a Hawks. It looked like a jersey.
Let's explain. This woman came in at 3 o'clock. She made a Blackhawks cake, and it's on display in the Allstate studio. There's a picture of it on WGNRadio.com on my Facebook page, and I hope to leave it down here for a few days. But according to Craig, management has already told them to bring it upstairs after the show. I don't know why. Why do they care? But we'll see what happens with that. You can take a look at the cake. Anyway, this woman, Catherine Poliak, made the cake, and she was here with her mother.
Yeah, and some other people. Her mom, and she had this cool T-shirt that looked like a jersey, but it was a T-shirt, and it had number 17, and then, like, you know where the name goes across? It said seconds. So, like, 17 seconds where they scored the two goals.
That's a cool jersey.
That was pretty cool. Yeah.
You see a lot of different variations of people doing the Griswold 00.
Right, yeah.
They pick up a Blackhawks theme from something and they get it made that way. I had not seen one of those before.
No, as she just walked out, I was like, that's really a cool T-shirt.
Yeah. Or sweater. if you're a purist. That was a T-shirt.
Well, she had a T-shirt. She didn't have this official sweater.
Where did she get it made, did she say?
I didn't ask her. I just saw her as she walked out. I saw the 17 seconds on the back of her, you know, on the back of the shirt.
Jill, you're on the blower.
Yes, regarding the skydiving, we had a radio personality here who, you know, they promoted he was going to do it. Mm-hmm. And when he came back on the air, he would not talk about it, did not want to be asked about it. He wasn't hurt or anything, but the gist was that it was very traumatic and traumatizing experience. You know, it did not go well for him.
I know a lot of you want me to talk about my experience as the skydiving incident happened a few days ago, and I just can't. Still cleaning out my pants.
No, he went.
Well, hey, I admit right on the get-go here that I wouldn't do it. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to jump
out
of a plane.
Well, you never know when you put yourself in an intense situation like that, how you're going to react.
Well, I'm not going to put myself in that if I don't have to. Life
right.
is crazy enough. I don't have to add
right.
any risk. But that's pretty
right.
funny. Is he still on the air there?
Yeah. Yeah, on TV and on the air.
Yeah.
He acts and everything like that. I think.
I know. I do all
know,
that, too.
Just the sense of, yeah, I would bring it. Yeah, if I would do it, I wouldn't want to do it either. But I think your natural instinct is to back away from the, you know, the high place, not jump off it. So. You know, I'd bring an extra pair of underwear. But, no, I wouldn't do it unless the plane was going down.
Yeah, there. Exactly. Thank you, Jill.
So he's okay on the air, but not good in the air.
No. That's his new slogan. He's one of those guys that's an actor, narrator.
Oh, sure.
He's got all those things on his resume, which is good to have. Greg?
Hello. How are you today, Gary? Great show. Another great show.
Thank you.
Doing well. Hey, listen, I was... My wife and I were watching a hockey game the other day, the Blackhawks, and she said to me, we were wondering whether or not anybody else in the world thinks Coach Q looks an awful lot like Grumpy Cat.
Like what?
Grumpy Cat? Tell me you don't know who Grumpy Cat is.
I don't know who Grumpy Cat is.
It's on the internet. There's like this cat with a scrunched up face.
Grumpy Cat. All right, I have to look up a picture, and I will let you know if he looks like Grumpy Cat. I did notice the other day in the press conference, I mentioned this, yesterday, his eyes are very laser. He's got these piercing eyes.
He has to keep those guys in order.
Well, I don't know if they're that hard to manage, but I will look for Grumpy Cat.
Yeah, there's a whole cottage industry with this cat now.
Yeah. Really?
He is a super meme.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
All right.
They take him places.
Does he look like Q?
I don't think so.
All right, let me look. They're going to be excited to be going home.
The
crowd is going to be loud. As loud as any building in the league. So they're going to have a lot of enthusiasm playing in front of their home crowd. Am I close to Q?
No.
No? We want to make
Say
sure.
Organization.
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 That's a coach's decision.
That's all I have to say about that. That's a lower body injury. 312-981-7200.
Well, that's not bad right there.
Pinella was my guy.
Yeah.
And then the ups and leaves in the middle of the game. Johnny!
Yo, Gary.
What up?
There's only two things that drop out of the sky: bird poop and fools.
That's what my bumper sticker says. You got that right. Well, I touched into Spike and Uncle Bobby territory there.
Yeah.
With that airplane talk. I guess it's inevitable. The station has to have at least one person on the air that is a pilot, and Orion is fulfilling that. But if he retires, somebody's got to.
But he doesn't fly it anymore, really. He's got his own pilot, I think.
I think he does, yeah. But he can if he wants to.
Oh, yeah. But I'm just
saying. At least he's got a license. We have to have somebody on staff that has a license.
I'm surprised there's not like a WGN plane, like in a hangar out here somewhere.
We barely have a van. Have you seen the van? They barely can afford that, it seems. Come on. Not going to go beyond that. But there are no easy games. There are no easy series. Never get ahead of yourselves, particularly in the playoffs. What's the word he said?
Organization.
The organization.
It's part of this organization.
It's part of this organization. Reasonable start.
You just have to guard against the Beatles sneaking in. You have that you end up a little
You're
bit.
Almost going to say, and now it's all this?
You end
all
up this? A little bit once in a while.
Beatles?
No, you do. You're ending up. That's what I'm saying. Don't end up like that.
Oh, I see. The crowd's going to be loud. As loud as any building in the league. Now, that's not it. So they're going to have a lot of enthusiasm playing in front of their home crowd.
Pretend that Lou Piniella became the coach of the Hawks.
Yeah. Like the team with the most goals after three periods wins the game. That's what you do. I love it when it's that easy. This is he always had a...
And he's got different because sometimes he's actually animated and his voice is a little higher. But then when he's in kind of mad mode, he's...
WGN. WGN.
This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Hi, everybody. It's Pat Hughes for Sport Clips Haircuts. You know, 1 year ago, I was a new Sport Clips client. After one visit, I was convinced. The MVP experience makes you feel just like that, an MVP. You start with a great haircut, followed by a relaxing tea tree shampoo, a hot steam towel, and finally a neck and shoulder massage. It's the only way I get my haircut. Plus, at Sport Clips, they have TVs at every cutting station playing nothing but sports, so I never miss a moment of my favorite games. Sport Clips has Guy Smart stylists that really know how to cut men's hair. It's easy to see why Sport Clips is known as America's haircut place for men and boys. That's why I am so loyal, I wouldn't go anywhere else. So, friends, if you haven't been to Sport Clips yet, take it from me, Pat Hughes. Get your next haircut there, and soon enough, you'll be as loyal as I am. Sport Clips is open 7 days a week, and you never need an appointment. With 70 Chicagoland locations, you can find the one nearest you at sportclips.com. At Sport Clips, it's good to be a guy.
Ready for an afternoon coffee break? Try new Hills Brothers coffee in single-serve cups. The unique cup design gives you all the flavor and aroma of Hills Brothers, one single cup at a time. Trust the taste. Share the tradition. Hills Brothers Coffee.
You work hard, and you deserve to retire with confidence. But today, a secure retirement is out of reach for over 2 million Illinoisans and their families who don't have a way to save at work. That's why AARP is advocating for Senate Bill 2758, the Illinois Secure Choice Savings Program. The bill would help people save for the future by making it easy for small businesses to offer voluntary, portable retirement accounts to their employees. More people saving for the future means less reliance on taxpayer-funded safety net programs and a more stable budget for Illinois. Call your state legislators at 1-800-719-3020 and tell them to support Senate Bill 2758, the Illinois Secure Choice Savings Program, to put Illinois workers in charge of their financial futures so they can live independently as they age. That's 1-800-719-3020. Paid for by AARP.
Kevin, what's on your mind?
Gary, I understand that I wouldn't jump out of a plane either, but I'm just I would like to know, would you be willing to do the human chandelier act? I can see you doing that.
The human chandelier, yes. You hang by your hair 40 feet above the floor. The story has another element that I forgot to mention yesterday. Imagine this 911 call after those nine people fell. We've got the human chandelier down at the Dunkin' Donuts Center. It's at the Dunkin' Donuts Center. That's what I think is one of those things where if nobody knew the story, you said this happened, they'd say, you making that up? Nine people fall at the Dunkin' Donuts Center doing the human chandelier.
Maybe they thought it was a bunch of police officers at the Dunkin' Donuts doing some type of weird, who knows?
Yeah, I'm not going to hang by my hair 40 feet above a floor either. Thank you.
I can see it. Have a great day.
Thank you. I played at the Rialto Theater in Joliet the ghost of Andy Gibb, and I was on a little trapeze chair, and they hoisted it way up into the rafters.
How did they hoist it?
Well, it's on a pulley system, right? Whoa. So I'm up there before we open the curtain in my little costume, and it's just me on that little.
Oh, wow.
And I'm looking down there, and I'm thinking, oh, my God.
And how were you at the up?
Yeah.
Above the.
Oh, yeah. It was at least 30, 40 feet. Got this text. It says, baseball players sit out with a sore toe, and number four plays after taking a puck to the throat. The
guy can't talk, and he's playing.
That's amazing. You don't need to talk. You just need to skate.
But don't you breathe through your throat sometimes?
Sometimes. I guess he's still breathing, so that's good enough to get back on the ice.
Tough guys, man.
And now, you're kidding, right?
They are.
They're tough guys.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say hockey players are tough guys.
Did you ever see the bungee jumpers from Vanuatu, New Guinea. They jumped from vines tied to their ankles from a tower about 100 feet high. Well, what else can you do in New Guinea? I like classic Guinea. I wish they never went new. That's another sport that I don't get, the bungee jump.
I would rather have jumped out. That to me, it's more scary, being tied to that thing than not having a tether. No,
they're both crazy.
Because you got jerked by that thing.
I don't know. It just seems silly. Hang like a piece of snot. I always thought it'd be fun to bungee off of one of the president's faces at Mount Rushmore, right on the nose, and look like a big piece of snot. But that's me. That's the only reason I do it. And then that guy that called about the radio station having an airplane, something like that.
I said, what if we had an airplane out here?
Yeah, I said we only have a van and barely have that. That guy that calls from Kenosha, he paints this radio station up there all the time. He says they have four vans, three for the rock station, one for the AM.
Look at that.
And that's Kenosha. I've never worked at a place that really was into vehicles as far as the radio station.
Yeah, but you know the GM's brother-in-law up there sells cars.
Probably.
Yeah.
Didn't the Loop have a fan van? No.
I don't remember them having anything like that. I know they have one now, I think. I see these different radio stations and their SUVs riding around. It's usually some intern just trying to pick up girls.
Keychains.
With keychains and cozies.
Oh.
You want a cozy?
I bet you do.
Spin the wheel. See if you can get a cozy. They all have these little wheels that you spin. And you get a cozy or a keychain.
Oh, like a portable wheel?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I've seen these. Yeah, come on out. Going to have the prize wheel.
The fan van.
And it's the size of a pizza. And sit there and spin for a cozy or a keychain.
No muffs there, though.
No. I'm giving away solid stuff that you can use.
No, it's mostly male interns that do it.
It is. And that's why they let them drive those SUVs around, but I don't know. I keep an eye on it.
Yeah, they're not vans anymore. That's true.
They're all ones I've seen. Is ours a van or an SUV? I haven't noticed.
Van. Ours is a van.
It's
we're
a van.
Vintage.
Yeah.
We're old school.
Steve, do they ever have a fleet of vehicles here that you remember?
We had we have a couple vans, but I think that's all I remember.
And what do they do with them? I never hear them going out anywhere.
No, those are for like the engineers when they do the remote.
Oh, that's right. When there's a remote, they park it in the parking lot, but that's just to haul their equipment.
They used to have a thing they called the fan van that they would take out, go to different spots.
Yeah.
What about that mobile studio? That big
How
bus?
How about that?
Yeah.
That was something I was always jealous of because their mobile studio was nicer than most of the in-house studios I worked at.
We'd park that outside Soldier Field or Wrigley Field.
Right.
But now we don't use it.
And they had a porch. They had a swimming pool.
A stage in the front.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
Stables.
This place was...
They used to have it at Taste of Chicago, and they'd have a little beer garden in the back.
Here's a text. You always breathe through your throat, you moron. You moron.
Well, what about your nose? What are you talking about?
I got to have
the
throat.
Nose end up?
The throes and the nose, the notes and the throes, they're all hooked up.
You could close your mouth and breathe.
Yeah.
I mean, what are we talking about
But you
here?
You can't block it.
You can't. But
it's
you're,
still going you're, up into your
you're
nose.
Your eustachian tubes feed into
How do you think
throat?
People choke?
When you breathe through your nose, Jim, it goes down your throatal area.
I understand.
Oh, no, he doesn't. Jesus. Nick?
Yeah, same thing with texture. Bibelism number 7,000. Don't you breathe through your throat. Yes, it goes through your throat every single time.
Do you breathe through your throat?
But what I'm saying is while he's skating, he probably has his mouth open, and he would really be breathing heavily. And if he's got a problem with his throat, he might have problems breathing.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. That's on the Soul Train scramble board.
You watch. He's going to go, I can't breathe. I
don't know
what's happening on the ice.
I have a full.
And he's doing hand signals because he can't talk.
I'd have a full mask on. I don't know how those guys. I know they didn't even wear helmets, but
and you
this is the era where you should have a full mask on the way they play. And the sticks are much more powerful than what they had before. They used to be cardboard. Now they're fiberglass and stainless steel.
Well, the best part is, too, if you get a high stick to your face, and if the high stick that is done to you draws blood, there's the penalty is more. So you'll see these hockey players, like, pressing their lips so they'll bleed so that they can show the ref.
Okay.
And then the other guy gets more
That's
penalty
fine.
Minutes.
Whatever you got to do.
I mean, it's amazing.
Rob?
Gary?
What up?
I am currently standing in the parking lot I have just pulled in ahead of my shift tonight. We have two vans. One says Chicago's WGN Radio 720, and emblazoned across both sides would be the Cubs, Northwestern, and Blackhawks logo. The other van, which I am walking to right now, it's kind of a two-tone getup. On one side, you have the Blackhawks logo, and then on the other side, you have the Cubs logo. And on the hood of this van, it says Radio 720 WGN, the voice of Chicago.
I have no idea
so
who that guy is.
We must be ahead of the game because we have two vans.
Where is that mobile studio? Do they ever roll that out anymore?
I don't see a mobile studio inside either of these vans.
No, this was a big trailer.
It's a box. Wow. It's a box.
Look up. Do you see turkeys coming out of a
there's
plane?
There's no mobile studio outside here, Gary.
Isn't that out at the transmitter?
Do they ever use it? They used to have it out all the time, but I haven't seen it.
Last time I saw it was a John Williams speed golf event.
So what you're saying is they haven't used it in a while.
I think they may have hauled it out at the beginning of the year at the United Center when we did that thing for the opening game, remember?
I thought they sold it for scrap. It's worth more in scrap than it would be. Rob, what time are you on?
My shift starts at 6. Gary, of course, I am preempted tonight by the Chicago Cubs and Chicago White Sox, and then we will join the Blackhawks in progress.
You're on at 6?
Yeah.
And when does that start? Because I thought I was on.
Yeah, why is Steve not on at 6?
Well, no, I mean, my shift starts at 6. My first update would be at 7, and then we would go from there. But this week, obviously, we've got a lot of sporting events.
Damn.
Yeah.
So you clock in at 6.
I clock in at 6.
And he hangs around the parking lot.
Right.
And does reports.
He looks in the windows of
breaking
cars.
Breaking into vans.
I'm actually down in the parking lot now handing out cozies and keychains to promote the station.
There's a blue SUV.
I mean, come on.
All right, come on in now. You're done out there.
With some fuzzy dice.
Cozy? Really, that's all they give out.
I don't see a studio in this one.
That studio was amazing. I don't know how much they paid for it, but it was pretty impressive. Leslie, did that duck get across the street or wherever you were?
No. It's an entire family of geese. And apparently they are moseying along the left shoulder. The state trooper is apparently back on the scene. And hopefully they will get them to a safe location. But at this point, they are still traveling west on 8094. And it looks like they've almost made it to the state line. So these are fast-moving geese, no less.
312-981-7200. Guy called it. What's on your mind, Guy?
Hey, Gary. Talking about radio vehicles. Down here in Peoria, we have a 95.5 WGLO.
Yeah.
They've got a sweet rig that still looks like a boombox, and they bring that out.
I remember when those were big. Yeah.
The riverfront.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Come on down to the Mobile Boombox, 95.5. What's the station's moniker?
The home of rock and roll.
Yeah. A lot of them are called Bob or Joe or Al.
Jack.
Well, 102.3 is Jack down here.
How many radio stations does Peoria have?
Oh. Well, Gary, we only have two if you put the aluminum foil on your head.
No, really. I mean, how many do you need? Because you can get probably some Chicago stations like you do.
Well, that's all I listen to. I listen to you mostly on the AM.
Thank you.
No, we've got quite a few. I think we've got 6 FM stations.
How about AM?
AM,
4
that are worth listening to.
All right. Well, just stick with the Super G. That's all you need.
That's all I need.
All right. Well.
And as soon as you buy the Tribune in Portillo's, then you can deliver my paper and my hot beef.
Thank you. That's code, by the way.
They should refashion those vans to make them look like iPods now instead of boomboxes.
I don't know how much they paid for those back in the day, but these stations aren't in the position to start buying vehicles. I can guess. You mentioned, or somebody mentioned a few minutes ago, this Smelly Cat, or what's this cat?
Grumpy Cat.
That's the big internet sensation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why is it such a big sensation?
Why is anything a sensation on the internet?
He started as a meme, but then it turns out that he's actually a sweet, adorable cat, and his owner was smart enough to pounce on like C2E2s and different events where Grumpy Cat showed up and met his internet audience.
He appears. He does public, you know,
appearances.
And coffee mugs.
There are videos of him doing grumpy stuff. What's
mostly
the deal?
It's just like a picture of him, and then they fill in different.
Because of his
like
face.
He's a meme.
Okay, I'm looking at his picture because that guy called and said he looks like Coach Q. I don't know if I see the resemblance, but I didn't know he was a big sensation. But cats in general have dominated the internet, and now there's a 24/7 cat channel on the internet TV station, Pluto.tv. And then it says visit channel 406 to get started on the 24/7 cat barrage.
Yeah. Channel 406.
Cats, cats, cats. Doing what? Cats, they all kinds of stupid
stuff.
Any
kind of things that move, they leap at and jump at.
I found the site that has the 50 funniest Grumpy Cat memes, and one is a picture of him, and it says, "A little bird told me it was your birthday. I ate him."
And this cat goes out, makes appearances,
yep.
And when you go to see the cat at an appearance, what happens?
He's just sitting there.
And he's got that perpetual frown on his face.
And then his owner gives out pictures of him or something?
Buy T-shirts and mugs and the whole deal.
Here's what, I like long walks, especially when they're taken by people who annoy me.
See, he's kind of like Garfield.
Yeah.
Great. And this guy's making a fortune off of it.
It's ridiculous. That's our internet.
See, I'm coming up with the bigger ideas. I'm doing
You're thinking too big. You got to think small and stupid.
I don't want to mention my mailbox for homeless people. That doesn't fly as well as some other ones.
Why don't you turn them into cat houses? And now you could be.
I beg your pardon.
There's a real.
We're
need.
In Vegas.
There's a need for that, and I'd advertise on Craigslist.
We don't judge. You just
okay.
Well, you had a good idea with the receipt for parking. Remember that one?
That wasn't.
You didn't like that?
Yeah,
one?
Well, again, I had some bigger ideas, but now I can't even think of them. They're so big.
Well, there's that, your transportation that with the cars are like a bumper.
Okay.
No?
I'm thinking more of the St. Patrick's Parade at McCormick Place, the Irish Southside Parade at McCormick Place, and you'd have cash bars, you'd make a fortune.
So you're talking about actually real ones. They actually could be done as opposed to some of these.
They're all real.
More conceptual
no,
things.
No, they're all real. They all can be done. The funny thing is, some of them are massaged and come out in a different form, but it's the same idea I had. You might remember the iPad?
Yeah.
Yeah, when that started.
That was yours?
Yeah.
Is that you?
Yeah. Steve Jobs ripped me off.
Right. The Apple computer?
Ripped me off. I had it. WGN. Robin.
Hi, Robin. Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I've got Diane on the phone. She's been hanging on for a while. We were talking before the break about this grumpy cat. Are you familiar with this?
Yeah, the cat on the internet that just makes a weird face.
Yeah. And Diane wanted to comment about that, I believe. Diane?
Yes. Speaking of cats, Gary, I once heard that George Balanchine, the very famous choreographer for the New York City Ballet, he said, "Hey, George, where do you get these beautiful ideas for your ballets and these moves?" He goes, "I watch my cat."
Oh, okay.
And that's how he created all his beautiful ballets, watching how the cat would maneuver everything and play with everything.
You have a cat, Diane?
I've had cats. They are beautiful.
Yeah. Right.
They move gracefully. They calculate everything. They play just for fun.
How many do you have now? 7, 8, 10?
0.
Oh, really?
No, I would never be one of those with multiple cats. Maybe 2, 1, so they have a buddy, but that's probably.
All right. I like your tonality, though. I think it is fitting if you do end up with 25 cats. Well, they just started to come around. And I just started to collect them, and now I have 30.
I'd even put baby kitties and puppies together and see if they get along just so they had some friends.
Yeah.
Oh.
You sound like a Kristen Wiig character. I love your voice.
I know.
The way it trails
thank you,
that.
Gary.
All right.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Diane.
All right. All thanks, Gary.
Bye.
Bye.
She's very pleasant, Diane, isn't she?
Yeah, she is. She is.
Wait, Larry, you're a dancer from way back, aren't you? Did you get your choreography skills from watching Cats, too?
Did you call me Larry again, Robin?
No, I said Gary.
Did you?
Didn't I?
That's all right, because I know you have a TV husband, you have a radio husband, and you did get them confused at one point a few weeks ago.
I don't know.
That's all right.
I don't think I did, but you are quite a dancer. That was my point.
Thank you. I dance like Prince. If you've ever seen him on stage, you know how I dance. So this,
is that still hip now?
Oh, yeah. At least I only have that move, so it better be hip. So this grumpy cat, its real name is Tartar Sauce. And I got a text that says it was on American Idol last week. This cat,
really?
Yeah, this cat makes appearances.
I don't get it. I mean, it's a cat that naturally just frowns, right?
Yes, that's its skill, and it's making a fortune.
Well, kudos to its owner for having the foresight to do that, because everybody could stand to make a few extra bucks.
On Facebook, it has over 5 million likes.
What the?
Featured on the front page of the Wall Street Journal.
What?
Cover of New York Magazine last year. Hey, wish I thought of it.
Please, right?
Exactly. Now, tomorrow, you're going to have, and I love when you do this stuff, with the chandelier, the human chandelier.
Oh, my gosh. Did you see that?
This next piece of video is very graphic, which draws everybody in. And you're going to show it multiple times, but you got to say that, right?
Yeah. Well, people get angry if you don't give them a warning. Yeah, that video of that the circus act with the rigging that collapsed, I couldn't even watch it.
Sure you couldn't, but you showed it a number of times, didn't you?
Well, that's not my decision.
Yes, it is.
But I appropriately cover my own eyes and can't stand it myself.
But you really can't.
Seriously.
You really can't see any carnage. You see them just fall. You're not going to see any
broken.
But why?
But just knowing that someone... What is happening underneath there is just, I can't watch it. You know what I mean? It's like people jumping off the, when you see those videos of kids skateboarding off buildings and they land on, they know they're going to break their ankle. I can't watch that stuff.
All right. But
you're cool, though. You like that kind of stuff.
That's all that show America's Funniest Videos is. Let's be honest. They've made a fortune just showing videos like that.
I do love people having a good fall, but not when I know a broken bone could protrude out the side of their leg. You know what I mean?
I just thought it was interesting. It's called the human chandelier, these women hanging from their hair, and it's at the Dunkin' Donuts Center.
Yeah, right?
What are the chances?
Oh, stop it.
No, that combination, to me, was the funny part about it. It's at the Dunkin' Donuts Center. So you get the 911 call, hey, the human chandelier went down at the Dunkin' Donuts Center.
Oh,
sort that out. Now, tomorrow, you're going to really have a nice follow-up here. You're going to talk to someone from Amnesty International about the Nigerian schoolgirls. This is a real uplifting story at 8 in the morning. This guy has kidnapped, 300 young girls?
Out of a school. And this happened, in mid-April. And we're just, the story's slowly been leaking out over the past month. But, this is a terrorist group that's done this, and they don't want young girls or women being educated. They say they're going to sell them as slaves. It's just, it's a horrible story. And the president spoke out and said that they're going to send some technical people to go and try and help, with computers and try and find the girls that are, they said they're not sending any troops over there. But we're going to be talking to someone from Amnesty International to find out more about this organization and about, it's unbelievable that in this day and age that could happen. I can't wrap my mind around it.
I know. There are atrocities like this going on 24/7 somewhere on the planet.
It's horrific.
But then lighten it up. That's actually at 6:40 in the morning to wake you up. And then at 7:45, your mom tells a joke.
Yes. Well, your very own Nick DiGiulio has his dad tell jokes overnight. I hear him on the way in. And so we thought for Mother's Day, we'd have our mom Skype and make them tell a joke. And I don't know how it's going to go over with my mom. She's not known for her joke-telling skills. She's very nervous about this.
Oh, yeah?
But, she's not. That's not her forte. So
all right. Well,
that alone might be reason to watch, Gary.
Okay.
And
a bunch of other stuff. You've got a performance from the Motown, the musical play that's in town.
We do have this one guy. This is really interesting. I don't know if you heard about this story a couple of years ago. It's a guy who's 40 years old from Washington State who got kicked in the head and like beat up on the street 10 years ago. He was a college dropout doing nothing. After getting kicked in the head, he's now a mathematical genius. He's a savant.
Yeah, I've heard these stories. We've all heard them, where somebody gets hit and then they're speaking German where they never spoke German before.
Right? I mean, he's solving these complex, it's like A Beautiful Mind, that Russell Crowe movie. He said it's unbelievable and he can't turn it off.
I'm surprised more hockey players don't speak other languages after a game because of the way they get hit.
I know.
Suddenly,
I know,
Patrick
right?
Kane is fluent in French.
Yeah.
Robin, I got to go. Have a nice week. I'll talk to you next week.
You too. Take care, Gary.
Thank you. Here's Leslie. Bye-bye. Eileen?
Hi. Oranges to you, Gary.
Apples.
Apples. I was just wondering, I know it's not Friday, but what are the geese protesting? Is it Obama trying to keep them down?
Okay, every Friday it seems we get that group of protesters on the overpass on 355, so that's what you're drawing into. So the story,
I guess they had plans for the weekend.
Yeah,
they're early.
Just tying up traffic. I'll tell you what, there are some people out there that are not compassionate, and I will share this one with you. Listen to this. Let me get one of the better ones here, or better by the fact that it's crazy. Just kill the geese and eat them. It's rush hour, for God's sake. Wasting tax money on cops escorting geese on a major interstate.
Well, so, are they Canadian? I mean, that would be an international incident.
Wow, you got it all lined up there, don't you, Eileen? Thank you. Joe?
Yeah, Gary, how
yeah,
are
Joe,
you?
Yeah, Joe, what's up?
Oh, you know, I was going to mention about Spike Odell when he took over the morning show after Bob Collins had that plane crash.
Yeah.
I think he, about Spike Odell, I think he has signed a disclaimer not to fly a plane. Right, because he used to do a lot of that computer flying stuff, you know, and they told him that he wouldn't be able to take lessons or anything.
He also had to promise not to use the word darling.
That, what? Yeah, see.
But he broke that rule.
Darling. Okay.
No, Spike didn't know.
Did Spike really fly, or did he,
no,
as you say,
no.
Joe?
Huh?
Well, he did a visual fly.
I know, but why would you have to sign a waiver not to use the computer?
Spike flew from his butt in his office. He was a simulator guy.
Okay, so he
did. Yeah, but Dave didn't want him to go any further than that.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. No, he'd come in and he'd say, I flew to Fort Wayne last night, and he never left his computer screen.
But the station figured it might.
Yeah, what they wanted was not to get too involved that he's going to say flying lessons and all that kind of stuff.
All right. I don't remember that. I wasn't listening back then, I think.
Yeah, I think that's happened, though, to him.
I'm not sure that it did, Joe.
Because using the flight simulator leads to actual flying, like
it's a gateway
marijuana
flight.
leads to heroin. Right. Okay. How's everything else, Joe?
Does Steve didn't remember that?
I don't remember it that way, Joe, but I don't remember everything very well.
Well, I don't either, though, either. I could be wrong also.
No, not you, Joe. Come on.
Oh, yeah, I could.
All right. Well, it's a thought.
Well, have a nice day.
Thank you, Joe. Always good to hear from you. Spike, can you sign this document that says you won't go from the flight simulator to actual flying lessons? Because we've had some problems here. And I guess that Dan Dibert, who fills in, he called in. He's a pilot, so we're covered. If Orion doesn't fly, this guy does. The station always has to employ a licensed pilot, so he's covering that base. That's probably why they hired him, right? Because we didn't have one. Orion has turned it over to another pilot. This is the Super G. Mike Fleck from Niles won the weather radio. I want to get all of the proper
details
and support to the fine sponsor, the Basement Watchdog, AM/FM NOAA Weather Alert Radio. So you got your AM/FM. It's a radio that's $80. Right there. It's $80. You know, if you think $80 is nothing, well, I'm sorry.
It's free money.
It's a free radio.
Free radio.
And it could save your life. So if that interests you, if your life is worth anything, there. That's what it is. It wakes you up. Say it's all going down in the middle of the night. You're sleeping. Wakes you up and says, don't go to back to bed. Grab that mattress, get in the bathtub, and put it over you because something's coming. Get your dog, Toto, and get down into the cellar because something's coming. I'll give out another one of these Basement Watchdog radios tomorrow after the 3:30 news. How about that?
It's almost like the radio, if you remember the Seinfeld episode where one of the bizarro Kramer came up with an idea, Feldman came up with an idea of a clock radio that woke you up and told you the weather.
Same idea.
Yeah.
Many, many years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know which one preceded the other, but speaking of ideas, I was trying to come up with some that I've come up with over the years and just couldn't. And a texter reminded me, and I like this one. I think this has value. Say you get a person that's threatening to jump off an overpass.
Yeah, you do like and that one, do you?
Well, it ties up traffic. And my idea is you drive a flatbed truck underneath with mattresses, and then the cops rush this person. If they jump, they fall on the mattresses, and the truck drives away. Traffic is opened up again. And my other one, along that same line, if you've got somebody in a car, like we had a few weeks ago, tied up Lakeshore Drive for 10 hours, they shut it down because this mope had been accused of killing somebody and then ran his car off of Lakeshore Drive. You get this wire mesh, and a helicopter drops it over the car. So if he has a gun and starts firing, it's not going to go out of the car. And then in that process, a tow truck comes and tows him away to a safer spot. Then they can do whatever they want to him. They can do the Lieutenant Hank on him, as I call it. Lieutenant Hank, what's his last name?
Hank.
The guy from Chicago PD.
Oh, Voight.
Voight. Lieutenant Voight.
Oh, I know you were talking about it first.
It seems like the city, now that I think about it, has a lot of people that have voices like that. You've got Coach Q. You've got Lieutenant Voight. And there's a woman, Sophia Bush. She has a voice like that on the show.
Oh, she talks like that, too?
She's got kind of a voice like that, too.
But is she trying to be coquettish and sexy, or is she?
Isn't that the daughter of the Voight character? Isn't that the connect the dots thing there? Anyway, she's got a voice like that. We got Q, Bobby Hull.
Yes, well, Bobby Hull, he's more like this.
That's what he talks like.
Everybody says he sounds like McGruff the crime dog.
I think he does.
Yes, it's Blackhawks hockey.
And we're going to kill these guys.
The blade stays in a little longer.
Speaking of Minnesota, their hockey team is a bit sluggish, but they've got something going that I kind of like, even though I don't really play golf. But if I did, I'd like this. Big Hole Golf is a recreational version of regular golf that helps beginners and disheartened casual golfers enjoy a good game. As the name suggests, the golf holes are 15 inches in diameter instead of the regular 4.25.
Wow.
Much better.
Much easier.
That's like in bowling when they put the gutters up. Right?
Those the bumpers.
I'm sorry, the bumpers.
On the
gutters.
Right, yeah.
I'm thinking of leaf guard.
You're always thinking of leaf guard.
Leaf guard could go into bowling alleys and have their gutters, which are enclosed, and the ball would just skid along right into the pins.
Oh, and the colors, cold gray.
Yes.
The colors.
Also, I'm thinking this, for that human chandelier, they should have leaf guard gutters that they hang on because they're that strong.
You could have eight women hanging by their hair.
On leaf guard gutters, and they would not have broken any limbs at the Dunkin' Donuts Center.
They wouldn't have left Providence.
I love the corporate sponsorship, but it is funny when something like this happens, not in the funny way that they got hurt, at the Dunkin' Donuts Center.
And that's what every reporter had to say in the report.
We're outside the Dunkin' Donuts Center. Well, there are a lot of police here at the Dunkin' Donuts Center. And the police wouldn't like that either because they're always being hit with that, hey, you at the donut shop? Is that where you are? He's the greatest.
Lazy Boy needs to step up now.
Lazy Boy at the Lazy Boy Center? We have a human chandelier gone wrong at the Lazy Boy Center.
Did you, you watched Louis yesterday, right?
Yes, Louis C.K. show.
So Seinfeld was on, and he was doing a little stand-up. And this comes off your thing here about golf. So he was talking about golf and how stupid golf is. And he goes, everybody who plays golf says it's very challenging. He goes, it's also challenging to throw a tic-tac in a shoebox, but we don't do it.
100 yards away.
But we don't do it.
That's why we don't do that. I love this Louis show.
That was a great line.
Actually late to that party, but I want to watch all of the previous three seasons.
And Seinfeld was very, mean.
Yes. He's Well, he's playing a part.
Yeah, but it was
I'm
funny.
I'm assuming that that's just for
it
the
It was just cool to hear, show. To see that.
Yeah. So is throwing a tic-tac 100 yards into a shoebox.
We don't do it. But... So now everybody gets the ball in the hole then.
Well, you will hope. I mean, it's three times, more than three times bigger than the regular hole.
Yeah,
I think
but
that
you
hole...
still got to get to the green. That's the trouble.
Yeah, but
right?
still.
Yeah, but how many times hole... do you lip the cup?
15 inches about right.
Speak for yourself.
Oh.
But yeah, that whole putting thing, yeah.
They should build it really in a big funnel. So you just hit the ball.
And then it rolls in.
Yeah, the green should be a big, right. Once you hit the green, you're in.
I don't care how big the hole is. I want a funnel on the green.
Well, they do that, but it's called miniature golf. I mean, it's...
I wouldn't mind a windmill out at Butler.
A nice little Mount Rushmore.
Exactly.
Hippopotamus mouth.
Right, at Butler.
A witch's face.
But I'll tell you what I don't want. I don't want any women in the parking lot. That's what I don't want.
Okay, Masters.
How about that? Some
of these
places.
Say it. We broads play too slow, right?
They don't even let them in the parking lot at some of these places. We don't want to know icky
girls
here. I don't
even think they use them in their club, you know, in the dining room. Yeah.
We want to sit around in our underwear and smoke cigars. We don't want any brads.
Ruining everything.
Yeah.
Why do you think I'm coming out here to get away from the wife?
She can't even get ear to place. That's what I like. That's why I pay $150,000 to join this club.
Drops me off three blocks away.
It's nice. Hey, you made a comment, and I'm getting a lot of text blowback in actually a positive way. As far as if it was a cougar that was on the side of the road, they probably would have shot it. But because it's in the duck family...
Right.
And I guess they're smaller and cuter. What's
the goslings.
The goslings. I love that show.
Yeah.
Eight is too many, or we had no protection, or whatever that show's called, or was called. She's off the air now. But it is funny, the pecking order of what animal lives and what dies on the side of the road.
Yeah, can you see this for a possum?
Yeah, a possum or raccoon, dead.
Oh, yeah, we're guiding
shot.
A possum
yeah.
into Illinois from
yeah,
Indiana.
State cops are doing that.
If it was a family of possums, then they would follow them.
No. Media
but
just wouldn't report on the
well,
kids.
Except that the little babies hang on to mommy's back and they look so cute.
Well, we don't know what they're going to do when they get them out of sight. You never
Apparently,
know.
Apparently, they know.
We'll probably cuff them and put them in jail.
They're cameras all over these cops right now. So I think they're going to be on their best behavior. Somebody said they found a gate and are now ushering them off onto the front of
this
road.
Has been an hour out there.
Well, they've got little bitty floppy feet. Yeah. They don't move very fast.
I think it's a gang of geese that are burglars, and these geese are creating a distraction while the other geese are robbing homes.
Could. Look at that little duck head. That's what they're saying. Because the traffic's backed up, right? Or isn't anymore?
Oh, it's still backed up.
What a nightmare it is to commute. It really is. Doesn't matter what expressway. It seems not to matter what time of day anymore. Although, 3 a.m, but then you got some lunatic going the wrong way and hitting that cab and killing that woman, allegedly. To say that, I guess, legally.
Yeah, there really isn't any kind of, like, you know, reverse... Remember that whole reverse traffic? What they used to call that?
The reverse commute?
Reverse commute. There's no reverse commute anymore.
I think it's worse in some
Both ways. Sides are just now, as bad.
And I mentioned that concept of when there's a car on the side of the road and somebody has a gun, I have this wire mesh that you drop over it to calm the situation down so traffic doesn't have to get backed up. And somebody texted and said you should have, because it would have, it would be a helicopter. Person said they should have Ringling Brothers drop the mesh.
They're good at it.
The chandelier, as it's called.
Sharks?
Here's what it is. It's nine women hanging from a ring with their hair.
You know, I see a lot of liability here, so for that reason,
I'm
out.
And it's at the Dunkin' Donuts Center. Well, you like that? Oh, my own.
I'm sorry. I'm involved with Cirque du Soleil, so I think it's a conflict, so I'm out.
Again, I want to be at a pitch at one of these meetings where they go, okay, it's nine women hanging from their hair from a ring 40 feet above the floor. And
sounds like a chandelier. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, then there's a reveal, and it's at the Dunkin' Donuts Center. Who wants to do this? Wow. Hey, they're lucky that nobody got killed. I mean, really, at this point, I don't know how many broken bones there are, but...
One of the girls is from Champaign, I guess. Her dad's a teacher at U of I.
Local angle.
that's what the local news like, because they don't like to do it.
I'm sorry. I thought you two might be interested in that, okay?
It is.
That's all.
At the point where it's not cohesive. We'll show a video of a story that has nothing to do with us because we have the video, but then they go for this local angle all the time. But it's not consistent.
Yeah, it's brutal. I hate that.
They show a car going through a convenience store in California because they have the video. It has nothing to do with us, but we got video.
We've had a nuclear explosion in Belarus. What's the local angle?
That's different. Nuclear explosions, universal. That's evergreen.
Human chandeliers.
Human chandelier. We have to warn you, this is very graphic, and we know you're going to want to watch it.
And it's on our website 24 hours
exactly.
a day.
And the people that were taping this off their phones, because they just were at the circus and thought, we'll just tape it for
breaking
our own.
The rules.
There's some audio, I guess, on somebody's phone where a kid sitting next to the mother goes, Mommy, are they supposed to fall?
Oh.
Yeah. And then she took a Cracker Jack box and put it in front of his face, it said in the article, so he wouldn't see any more than he saw.
Do you think they could get lawsuits in terms of kind of kids being traumatized?
Well, they actually, that wait before you start laughing, and I know the first inclination for Bibble when he
laugh.
Opens his pie hole
is to laugh, but now you have to
they
think
have
about it.
They have provided or are providing counselors to these kids to make sure they're not traumatized.
I wouldn't be surprised because, you know, the one thing I was surprised at, not only was the fall dramatic, but how fast the lights went out. It's like they know as soon as the chandelier falls,
well, they said,
cut the house lights.
And then you can hear them saying, all right, it's time for an intermission.
Yeah.
So go get some popcorn if you can eat after seeing that.
I've never been comfortable at the circus anyway.
Yeah, I've been traumatized.
You don't like clowns?
It's not the clowns. It's just that stuff, man.
I'm traumatized by the humiliation of the elephants having to hold the tail of the guy in front of them.
How about the guy who has to wear that orange coat? That's humiliating.
That and a lot of other things. And clowns in general. I have nightmares.
Although a nice juggler is fun.
Yeah, terrific. Or the fire eater, waiting for that to go up. Super G.
You are listening to station WGN.
It's a radio. Turn it off.
Testing now.
Go.
From the WGN Allstate Showcase Studios.
A man who is known far and wide for his after-dinner talk.
Shake that.
It's the 6 o'clock hour.
Oh, Gary!
Good evening, America. Since the Benghazi attacks almost 2 years ago, Al-Qaeda operatives and allied terrorists have flocked to Libya.
Better than Vegas.
The country has attracted a star-studded roster of notorious terrorists and fanatics seeking to wage war on the West. Yes, you're George Clooney's of jihadists.
You should open your mouth a little wider when you speak.
One U.S. military contractor working on counterterrorism in Africa summed up the situation in Libya today as simply scumbag Woodstock.
By the time we got to Woodstock, we were...
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the opening of a 3-day festival, Scumbag Woodstock.
Where's Max Yasker when you need him? We're going to have 3 days of car bombs and fatwas and nothing but car bombs and fatwas. A judge in England told an insensitive father that he must stop emailing his kids in all capital letters because it looks like he's yelling at them.
Oh, you bastard.
Sorry, kids. You are the rudest little twerps walking the earth. Lowercase. Better?
Yes.
I'm Gary Meyer, broadcasting from the Allstate Glass Box on your Blackhawks Nation headquarters. The 720 Dreamliner, the Super G, WGN, Chicago. Tom Skillion is back on board. Tom.
Gary.
I don't know.
How are you?
Good. I don't know if you heard that traffic section there where...
I didn't, Gary. Forgive me. I was doing the TV side
that's
here.
That's all right. Leslie was reporting on this flock of geese or whatever on the side
of
the road.
We had video or frames of that. Yeah.
Okay. And the
scary.
Police were very gently trying to get them out of harm's way.
Right, right.
I got a text. And it says, thank God it wasn't a giraffe. And it made me think.
About that zoo over
yeah,
in
Yeah, Copenhagen
Europe.
Zoo where they yeah. shot the giraffe in the See. Head in front of people yeah. and then chopped it up.
And children on top of that, school kids.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Last week, after that botched execution in Oklahoma,
right.
I guess the European press really went after us here, because most of Europe does not have the death penalty.
That's right, yeah.
But I'm thinking, wait a minute. We just spent an hour escorting geese on the side of the road.
Right.
All right? That's
yeah,
what we
so
do.
Who's more humane,
and you're shooting
right?
deer or giraffe in the head.
In front of your school
and
children.
I believe some lions a couple weeks later right in front of people.
I know.
So where's the humanity there?
Absolutely, Gary.
Jerks.
You're absolutely right.
Go to the jerk store.
You know, I had a picture somebody sent me from DeKalb about a little group of ducklings with the mother duck going across and the chicks following. And the motorists were great out there. There was no police intervention, and the motorists just stopped, thank goodness. But that could have turned out very badly. That's like when we had that dog running. Remember those couple of dogs that were running?
Oh, yeah.
Highways?
I mean, that happens every now and then. A dog gets on the expressway.
Oh, yeah, I just, you know, every time I see a little animal walking around, I think I have to turn away because I'm afraid it's a disaster ready to happen.
Even though you should be looking at the road as you're driving. I think I'll turn away for a few minutes.
Yeah, and
that's
drive
great.
Into a bridge abutment or something, yeah.
And are you familiar with Grumpy Cat?
No.
It's this internet sensation. The cat has a grumpy face, and this owner of the cat has made quite a fortune off of this cat.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, this text refers to that. It says, I hope that NOAA Radio sends out a warning about that grumpy cat. I want to know when that little biatch is headed my way.
Gee, wow.
It does not report on grumpy cat, but it will hopefully save your life if you have one.
That's true.
And I'm giving out another one tomorrow after the 3:30 news, the Basement Watchdog AM/FM NOAA Weather Alert Radio. You know how important these are.
Gary, you know, you look at these middle-of-the-night tornadoes that have struck. I mean, these are really scary. We had one up in West Bend. There was one in Evansville a couple of years ago, one in Orlando, Florida. And, you know, people die in these things, and they're in their bed. They don't know these storms are coming, and these radios will turn on in the middle of the night and tell you they're coming. So it's really pretty prudent to have one of those things there when in a tornado-vulnerable area like this one.
I remember a few years ago, I forget where the tornado was, but somebody was running some audio on it, and they were huddled in a store, I believe.
Yeah.
And that thing, and you always hear...
Joplin, Missouri.
That's where it was.
Yep, yep.
You always hear this. It sounded like a freight train, and the sound of that thing, wow.
There is a video that's along that line out of Washington, Illinois, that was recorded. A gentleman and his daughter were watching this thing come across... approaching the subdivision, and they kept the camera running and went down to the basement, and you hear this, breakage and all. And I put a stopwatch to it, and 12 seconds time, it took the whole neighborhood out.
In 12 seconds.
12 seconds. I mean, that's how fast these things work. I had a video somebody sent me from the Mississippi River out by the Quad Cities back in the 90s. Colleague of mine, as a matter of fact, out in the Moline market sent me a copy of this thing, and I put a stopwatch to that one. Somebody did the same thing, showed the thing approaching the Mississippi from the west. They went down to the basement, came up 30 seconds later, and everything was gone. I mean, it's just amazing how fast this all takes
place. You think
place.
You have all this time, and
no, you don't.
If you see it, you can prepare or whatever. But the other odd story about this one last week, the woman had a storm, a safe room, and she got in that and she was killed because some of the debris blew through the door of that.
Wow.
I would think the only safe way to go is to have something below ground where it's underneath the house, like in The Wizard of Oz, that storm cellar.
They do have these rooms that you get, these safe rooms, and they are above ground. And they've got them reinforced, Gary, so that supposedly these 2x4s won't go through them. Because, you know, that. Texas Tech has done a lot of work on these projectiles that these storms throw through the air, and they found a 2x4 will go through a chimney at 100 miles an hour. So the wind speeds required aren't as great as you would think to do incredible damage on this stuff. And they build these rooms supposedly to, not supposedly, they work to, protect you against these projectiles that might otherwise come through the wall at you.
Yeah, when you have 12 seconds,
I know,
got to get in there.
Yeah.
Have you had a chance to look at the Blackhawks cake?
Gary, I haven't yet. No, I'm going
to
do that because I tried before and I got busy with the TV show here. So I've got to do that.
Yeah, the woman that came in at 3 o'clock when you were on with me, Catherine Poliak from Buffalo Grove, put together a Blackhawks cake. It is on display here in the Allstate studio, and it's also available to look at WGNradio.com and my Facebook page. Getting a lot of very nice comments from the photo, and a lot of people are stopping by the Allstate studio to take a picture.
How about that?
Yeah.
That is really cool. How long did she say how long it took to bake that thing? Because
she said she has, what, 6 players on the cake?
Oh, my word. Can you imagine
that? The hardest part, to do all the players.
Yep.
I mean, bake them.
Yeah. Here it is. I'm pulling it up, Gary. So, oh, my word. Look at that.
Look at that. Look at that cake.
That is really amazing. Right. So they have she has a whole rink there, and the individual players are.
Oh, yeah.
That is the most beautiful thing I've seen. That is really amazing.
Starting tomorrow, the heat is on, right, Tom?
That's right, Gary. Now, word of caution. Now, there's a warm front coming north, and for a part of the day, the wind's going to come off the water. So you'll think, oh, you know, they misled us on this warming. And then it's going to gush in late in the day, or, you know, in the mid-afternoon, late afternoon hours. And then the North Shore, which will be the last to get in on the warmth, we'll see the warmth come in at night. So the warmest temperatures up, say, north of Evanston and up toward Waukegan and Zion and Kenosha, the warmest temps there will actually arrive late tomorrow night. But over the rest of the area, we're thinking now perhaps 83 or 84 in the south and west suburbs and up into the city by late tomorrow. And then looks like maybe 86 will be the high on Thursday. So it's going to get really warm.
Good. I'm going to get that Katy Perry chorus out. Sun's so hot it'll melt your popsicle.
Right.
I haven't had that out in a long time.
That's right. It's going to be beautiful.
And then there's a storm attached to all this?
Well, we could blow a storm up in a couple of locations. Maybe 40% of the area could get in a thunderstorm tonight. That's forming out ahead of the warm front. And then I think much of the day tomorrow, fairly dry. There might be an isolated storm that pops in, the same tomorrow night. But the better chance of storms is Thursday night. And in the afternoon, there could be some scattered ones Thursday. And those could become fairly formidable. I think we'll be hearing about some weather watches on Thursday out west of us in Iowa, western Illinois, and then those could ride into the Chicago area after that. You know what's interesting, though, Gary? We have at least a couple of our models are suggesting after a downturn to 70, which is really okay, and a beautiful day on Saturday, we could spike up again, get up into the 70s and maybe even close to 80 at some point later Sunday or even into Monday. A couple of our models are suggesting that before it settles back to upper 60s or low 70s again.
Sounds good.
Yeah, so it's coming around.
312-981-7200. Mark, you're on.
Hey, Gary and Tom, how you doing?
Good, Mark. How are you?
Hey, listen, I just want to, Tom would probably remember this better than you, Gary, but Tom, you remember that tornado that was in Utica, Illinois? That was some. I was doing some work for a company there in Utica. It was probably about 10 years ago. Am I remembering that right?
Yes, sir.
And man, I was there like the day after it happened. And the other thing kind of related to this is I was amazed when I drove down, you know, Utica is like a little two-horse town in middle of nowhere. And on one side of the street, this like the quote, main street in Utica, complete devastation.
Yep.
On the other side of the street, like nothing happened.
Not a thing.
Like nothing, not a thing. And there was, I don't know if you remember, but there was like a bar there that was, I don't know, whatever, 100 years old, and it completely imploded into the ground. And I think some people got buried alive.
You know what's amazing is there was a 100-year-old solid stone building there in which people had done the right thing. There were some people who actually got out of trailer homes and got into this heavy building, went down to the basement, which you're told to do, and the building came down on them, and there were 8 or 9 deaths in that
exactly.
building.
Exactly, that's exactly right, Tom.
And that building was there for 100 years, and it had withstood storms before. You know, it all goes to show you, some of these storms, there's just nothing you can do. I mean, you know, they're going to get you one way or another, and this was one of them.
Utica is where Starved Rock is.
It is. Beautiful, the park out there, yeah. Yeah, it's a pretty community, it really is.
All right, Tom, what's happening right now? And if you have a moment between now and when you go on the air in Channel 9, check out the spokeshorse on WGNradio.com who raves out about the treatment of horses in the Kentucky Derby.
I
think you'll find it interesting.
I will do that.
Yeah, this horse has just about had it.
Gary, let me ask you, your cake, were those players edible? I mean, are those edible too?
She claimed, yes, you could.
Wow.
There are toothpicks holding the arms on, though, so don't bite down on on Taze.
Folks have got to see, check that out on your Facebook page and on the GN radio show, because that really is very cool.
And I'm getting some text. I better not see this in a dumpster in about a day.
You will not.
No, nope. You will not see that. It's the Blackhawks.
That's a piece of art.
On ice. On icing, I should say. Check it out. It's a beautiful little thing, and I think it's good juju for the game tonight
is,
in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
All right, Tom, that's it. I'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you. In just a few minutes, pregame with Judd Surratt, and then Cubs and White Sox at the Rig for game 2 of this crosstown matchup. First pitch at 7:05. Thanks for listening. As always, have a great night. Good night.